Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello again, sports virgins. How are we this week? Everyone good?
Yeah. I did some sport this week.
What?
Hey.
Yeah, yesterday I did half of a Joe Wicks 10-minute core workout.
Oh, why half? Half?
Because I started crying because it was so hard. So that's me done. I'm a sportsman still, just really living my best sports life.
Well, it's good that you have a baseline level to start from.
Yeah, zero, I think they call it, don't
they?
Well,
yeah, close to zero,
yeah. Oh, I don't know. Matt, let's not forget you're now a professional sportsman with your ice skating.
Like any true sportsman, I've got a bloody injury, haven't I? So I'm just trying to do whatever I can to stay not soft round the middle.
Just keep working on those abs.
You know, maybe I should do a little workout in the woods for everyone to see. Maybe that's the way to do this.
Listen, worked for me. And I'm sure, I think when you post a workout on social media, it means that you burn twice as many calories.
Do you? I thought as much. How's your week been, Dylan?
I'm still struggling with my back, so I've not been too active, which is bloody annoying.
Okay.
But
yeah,
getting better, though. So hopefully by next week, I'll be back up and running again.
Absolutely fantastic.
Well, this is a very special episode this week because it's finally happened. We have got a couple of mascots on the show today, which is something, you know, any sports aside, that's the one thing we've really been interested in, isn't it?
The thing
is,
the way you said referees. That, yeah, but we're never going to get a referee on this show, are we? The way I talk about it.
Not after you said, yeah.
And if I've got anything to do with it, I'll never be on a show with a referee. The way you said a couple of mascots then, it sounded like you were talking about us. Oh, we've got a couple of bloody mascots, as in like people who can't do this, you know, people not doing the sports. It's like, oh, two mascots on this show, aren't there?
Really?
You said it in like a, oh, like a lovable kind of like, oh, look at these two. We're mascots, aren't we?
No, I mean, the mascots is the most exciting part of sport for us.
If anything,
all we've wanted to discuss on the show.
And look, I think the mascots are having like a sort of a revival at the moment with the Masked Singer. I think that's only going to do good things for the business.
Good point. So we're looking forward to chatting to those very soon. And then we're going to be taking a little bit of a break after this episode. We're giving Jargon a week off as well, because he's had a rough time recently. So
he's under the pump, isn't he?
Yeah. We'll chat to our mascots. And then, of course, the quiz. Will Matt make a surging comeback? Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm relying on a hitman coming to see you in the next sort of 20 to 30 minutes, and
oh,
that's
God.
The only way.
It's like the ice skater, Tanya, what's her name, isn't it?
I, Tonya. That's where I got the idea from, actually. Now I'm ice skating. I've thought I'd really go fully I, Tonya and just take you out.
Oh, lovely. Thank you, Matt. but first of all, Dylan, have we missed anything this week in the sporting news? Anything we need to know?
Well, because I can sense the excitement to get the mascots in and chat to them. So we'll keep it brief with the sports news.
Please.
So we've been covering the Australian Open for the last couple of weeks. So that's now ended. So Djokovic won the men's
for the
ninth time. Yeah.
So boring, isn't
He's now creeping up with Federer and Nadal in the overall Grand Slam wins. Right for that.
He's a bit younger than them, though, isn't he?
Like he is a bit younger.
He just looks old.
Yeah, exactly. So he could end up being better than both of them in terms,
because he's got a long career ahead of him.
Yeah. So who knows in that one? But also Naomi Osaka won the women's, which is great.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
It's just nice to see a new name. If anything, I'm going to say this, and people might criticize me. I think the women's game is a more interesting game because it's not just the same people that dominate all the time. There is a much better turnover of new and exciting talent.
I thought you were going to say it's not just the skirts. I don't know why. I just thought
it isn't. Look, it's not just the skirts and squash, which is my two favourite things about Wimbledon and summer in general. But God, it made me sound like a pervert, didn't it?
No, you didn't, Matt. I made you sound like a pervert. Yeah. That, I'm sorry.
But you got to think, you do know me quite well, so maybe you're just sort of outing me. I think the men's game, the tennis is one of the few things that I am vaguely sort of have a passing interest in. And I just have no interest in the men's. I like the doubles and I like the women's, because the doubles is the most exciting to watch, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree, yeah. So Osaka's now won 3 Grand Slams, I think. So, you know, she's definitely one to watch. She's obviously the new kid in the block.
I think I saw Serena Williams in tears. Is that right?
She lost to Osaka in the semi-final. So, but there was no beef or controversy or anything at all. It was just that, you know, she wanted
she's
to
not
win.
Used to
she
it.
Said.
Is this the beginning of the end of the Williams domination of women's tennis? Because I know that Venus is sort of like she's long gone, really, isn't she, from the top flight?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how long Serena's got left, but you've got to think she's in the twilight of her career. But Osaka is the future.
Why don't Venus and Serena pair up for doubles? Oh my God, you would not want to play them.
No, they have done that a few times. I'm sure they've won the women's doubles in Wimbledon a couple of times and stuff, so they have done that a few times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, I went so years ago.
Yeah, no, they
I
did went, that.
Yeah, good yeah. idea, though. Good idea.
Great idea that everyone
wow, why
else
didn't
has
they
had
think
it.
Of that?
15 years too late, but anyway. So we move on to the Premier League.
I was only going to say the best thing I've ever seen. I went to when I was doing some. I did like a thing at Wimbledon for Stella years ago, and they gave me. I had tickets to the men's final, but I went in the lead up because I had a grounds pass, and I went to see on one of those smaller courts the wheelchair tennis, which was the coolest version of tennis I've ever seen. It was so impressive and so much more athletic, I think, than anything else I've seen. It was awesome. So I think there should be more of that on television. Yeah, it's really, really impressive.
I agree with that, yeah. We'll move on to the Premier League, though. We'll cover this off. So Liverpool lost again at home again. So old Mr. Klopp is definitely under pressure at the moment.
I can see why he didn't show up today.
He needed this week off, he really did.
He needed the week off. It was to Everton as well, so big local derby. So they lost at home to Everton for the first time in, I don't remember how long, something like 30 years.
Is that because there's no home team at the moment and that's kind of taken away all the home advantage?
Well, yeah, that's
there's
a
no
strong
home,
theory.
Sorry, there's no home crowd.
Yeah, that's a strong theory that, you know, Liverpool traditionally are, you know, not unbeatable, but they've got a very strong home record, but the crowd plays a major part of that at Anfield. But without the crowd, they've lost, I don't remember how many, but something like 5 or 6 games at home this year, which is unheard of.
Yeah, as someone that's been out in front of a crowd in Liverpool many times, I can tell you they are an intimidating bunch.
Especially for a southerner.
The first few times I went, there's a certain way to play Liverpool. Like it's different to every city. Once you've got it, you've got it. But leading up to it, my God, you have an awful time.
So Spurs lost again. So Mourinho also in serious pressure. They're in a huge losing run. But Man City just keep rolling and rolling. So they won again. Probably theirs to lose.
Fair enough.
So the Six Nations is going to be back this weekend. So after a week off. So they play 2 rounds, then a week off. So it's back again this week. The big game, Wales versus England in Cardiff.
Dylan, we know that's the big game for your lot, but for us it's just another day,
isn't it? Yeah, if only that wasn't true.
How's it going to look?
Well, who knows? Beginning of the Six Nations, most people would say that England were clear favourites against Wales and to thrash them. But the way the first two games have gone, England have been poor, Wales have won the first two games and look better than people thought. So
great.
Who knows? Again, the crowd being absent from Cardiff is a massive factor. So otherwise, if there was a crowd there, I'd say Wales were clear favourites this time. But who knows? It's a tight one, this one.
Is it the kind of one that you're kind of looking at going, you really wish you could be there as well?
I mean, every time there's a game in Cardiff, let alone Wales, England, it's always one that you wish to be there.
Speaking of sports without crowd noise, bit of a tangent, but Kenny was watching a UFC the other day with no crowd noise, and that's really weird because you just hear them like grunting and just like smacking each other. Yeah, it's horrible. I was like, oh.
Yeah, it's not nice, is it?
Look, the thing is, I think without crowds, a lot of sports, it's really taken the sheen off. Like when as someone that doesn't watch a lot of sport, when you watch Premiership football with a massive crowd, you're like, oh, wow, look how impressive this is. And then you walk past the Sunday league team, you're like, well, that's shit compared to that. And then you realise it's all about the crowd. League game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so true.
Major difference. So the last sporting news I want to call out is back to snooker. We've covered off snooker a few times. Yeah. It was the Welsh Open on the weekend, which isn't a big thing at all. But the reason I've brought this up is a qualifier got to the final and played against Ronnie O'Sullivan, the greatest snooker player of all time. And he won. It got to a last frame decider, so something like 8-all. And the qualifier won 9-8, so he beat Ronnie O'Sullivan. So that's a great story. I mean, I'd never heard of this guy before, but...
Rags to riches in snooker.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, so he was working in a petrol station 3 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, and he beat Ronnie O'Sullivan in the final.
Anything's possible. This just makes me think...
Yeah, anything is possible. It's going to be... Have you ever seen... there's a really funny... if anyone's listening to this, there's a really funny Mitchell and Webb sketch about badly written sports movies, and it's about cricket in the north, and I can see that, like, from petrol station to snooker table is going to be one of these sort of terrible British sports movies with Stephen Graham going in, going, lad, you don't sell the petrol rights, you're never going to play snooker, and everyone's, you know, and like a montage of him missing balls in the pub, and like he just crumbles,
and like in the petrol station, like, instead of serving, he sets stuff up to using breadsticks as cues and stuff, like,
every time a red and a white car comes in, he's just like off dreaming, and and his dad's going, and before the big match, his dad goes, lad, I know I've not played snooker for 40 years since the accident, but I want you to have my snooker cue. Dad, I could never take your cue. I don't know how to play with it. Trust me, son, the cue makes the man. Like that sort of thing going on.
Well, look, this is it, Matt. This is your. You need to write,
you know,
this.
What? I'm gonna try and get the rights to the film. I don't imagine they'll be that expensive in snooker, but we'll see.
No.
What do you win in snooker? Is that a silly question? If you win, like, how much money do you win, or like, what's the deal there?
I think the World Championships is probably worth a decent amount, but this one probably not much at all. He won some kind of shit trophy. I was watching it.
It really is.
Like it was proper budget.
Really, that's budget really trophy. Funny.
And I'm sure as a stand-up comedian, you've spent a lot of time in petrol stations. Is that not right?
A lot of time in petrol stations and a lot of time in village halls in Wales, weirdly. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like, maybe it's the rags to riches story I need to go after. I was watching, I did see the other day, I forgot about this, they did do like darts, they've done snooker as well, I think, for sports relief with comedians. And some of them are really good at it. Like Catherine Ryan was amazing at darts. Someone else was really good at snooker. Maybe these sort of like... sports, you know, in kind of like the way that fishing, I assume, is also a sport. You know, it's these kind of sports. Maybe you can pick them up later on in life and it doesn't matter what you've done before. So snooker might be for us, Amy. How are you at pool?
You never know. Terrible, but, you know, I don't know. You picked up ice skating in a matter of weeks. Maybe I just need to put the time in.
Absolutely. And as we all know, it was sort of deemed by the greatest names in ice skating that I wasn't very good at it. So, you know,
I think they were a bit harsh, but yeah.
Yeah, but maybe, okay. Maybe let's maybe just avoid anything that could be sporty.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, this is very exciting. We were hoping something like this might happen on an episode, and it has. Please welcome to Sports Virgins, Emily and Alistair, a.k.a. Harley and Emily, who are mascots for Harlequin Rugby Club.
Oh, this is so good. Hi, guys. How are you both?
Yeah, really well, thanks. Really good.
Actually, did I say Harlequin? It's Harlequins, right?
Yeah, come on, mate.
That was embarrassing on my part.
We don't know enough about sport. We don't know anything about sport, but you could have Googled it.
See, Alistair and Emily, see what I have to deal with on a weekly basis?
Patience of a saint.
Now, I have so many questions. I'm going to start with the... Well, let's start at the beginning. We'll go through each of you. Emily, how did you become a mascot?
So I was leaving school. I had just finished my exams and I was moving into college to study sport. And I'd been a Harlequins fan since I was a toddler. So okay. I was looking for a job and my dad said, let's just see if they need anyone, like whether it's going to be ground staff, a ball girl, anything, just to get you by as you go through college. So I went on the website and I looked up careers just to see if they had any openings. And one of the only ones they had was female mascot needed. So I kind of thought, oh, maybe they're thinking about the kids that like run out onto the pitch at the beginning. And I was I could do that. You know, I might be a bit big, but, you know, I could join in. Turned up, they gave me the job description and it was like, you know, musical theatre experience, needs to be good with the crowd, happy to wear a costume. And I was like, oh, okay, I think I've applied for the bear here. I went for my interview and I spoke to who's now my manager, Catherine, and we had a chat, went through a few moves, tried on the costume and thought, yeah, this is great, you know, and ended up in the role.
Wow. And so you're called Emily the mascot, but you are called Emily. So did they name the mascot after you or the other way around?
No. So actually the mascot Emily the Bear or Emily is named after the first ever female rugby player whose name was Emily. But it just is a coincidence that my name is also Emily as well.
Handy.
All right. And I mean, the same thing to you, Alistair. Was it such a simple process like Emily's or was it different?
I mean, it wasn't that simple. I mean, very similar. I was sort of in between bits of work and again went to the Quinn's website and saw they were looking for a mascot and thought, oh, I like the sound of that. I've come from a sort of theatre background, a sort of love sport, so that, you know, sort of ticked all the right boxes there and applied and was asked along to an interview where I sort of arrived at the club, was taken upstairs to one of the executive boxes, been asked to do all this prep before I got there. So at the time, there was just the two mascots at Quinn's. It was before Emily and Emily joined. So there was Harley and Charlie. I had to prepare a sort of character action for each of the two bears. Thought a little bit about their personality and, you know, who they were like, which players they identified with. And then I had to do about a sort of 5-minute sort of party piece, something that I would do. So whether it be things like juggling and stuff like that. So I thought, what could I do?
And Alistair is the elite. He's the elite mascot. He had to turn up and actually do a piece, like an audition. I just turned up and went, I need a job. And they were like, yeah, okay, cool.
I was going to say, I enjoyed seeing your face, Emily, while he was describing that. You were like, what?
Juggling.
I just turned up.
Juggle.
I just wave. I just wave at kids and you know, jump around. I don't juggling and identifying with characters. It's all very technical. And Alistair's
well,
like,
you know, I love you know, this process.
It was very deep, very deep. So what I did was... you know, this is how serious it got. I prepared the theme, The Mighty Quinn, which is played a lot at the club, a dance based around the New Zealand haka, and was told going into this, don't worry, you'll be given one of the suits to try, and we'll see what, you know, so it won't be you doing it. And they were like, it's a bit tight in here for space. Do you mind just doing it just as you are, just in, you know, jeans and a T-shirt? So there's me there in this sort of executive box, the sort of pitch down there overlooking it. Two people behind this desk and me literally just playing off an iPhone, Mighty Quinn sort of doing this sort of weird stompy dance routine that I'd managed to sort of put together. So
come on, Alistair, let's see it. Come on. You worked
it's a few years ago and it is a podcast, so I don't know comes across.
It won't work,
you know,
very well. I mean, I'm sort of I'm fascinated by this because it feels like, Alistair, that could have been a hidden camera show. Like that and they're like, oh, just do this hacker here. Like, that's fine. Like, it feels like quite a surreal job to do. Is it as well? Like, well, you know, we don't know a lot about the mascot world. I feel like it's part of a lot. It's a big part of the game, a big part of a lot of sports, but people don't talk about it. Like, is it a full-time job or is this something you do at the when there's games on and you do other things?
Definitely not full-time. We work when matches are on. Okay. Sometimes we get called to do other events. So like if there's a local thing going on, like a market, and they want to put a stand there, sometimes the bears will turn up. But no, it's just match days that we work. We tend to be there a couple of hours before kickoff, so our day is quite long. But we're not actually in the costume until about half an hour before kickoff. It is one of my kind of side jobs that people love to hear about. And they're always very shocked. I get it's surreal. People don't realise it's me in the costume. It's quite a fun thing to talk about. So definitely a conversation starter.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so cool. It's such a cool job to do. And when you walk out onto the pitch, do you get like a buzz from the crowd because they must react when you come out?
Oh yeah, it's amazing. It's sort of the only thing. It's sort of the closest I'll ever get to sort of walking out playing sort of professional rugby anymore now, really, which is dressed as a 6 foot bear.
You do feel like a little celebrity. You feel like a little celebrity for a while. Like you've got everyone's eyes on you. People are begging to get your picture. A lot of the time people are like, can I get your autograph? And I'm like, okay, how would a bear sign this poster? And I'm like, I like usually put like a little paw print and like an E.
Amazing.
But yeah, you're just like a little celebrity and people are amazed by these bears and kids especially. I mean, I've made a few kids cry, but most of them are pretty excited to see me.
Yeah, you've got to make a few kids cry, though. That's just the statistics of it.
So do you rehearse things or do you just get out there and freestyle for like 80 minutes?
Yeah, it's usually freestyle. I think usually the things where we've been told there's some rehearsal involved haven't tended to go that well. basically,
it's hard to coordinate.
A lot of things, you know, we're there at a weekend or a match day, and someone will have an idea in the office, sort of in the week before. And they can do this. That'd be fine. I remember we did the big game at Twickenham, probably about three seasons ago now. The idea that the match ball was going to be delivered by being dropped from a tightrope above the stadium, and the bears would come out and catch this thing in a net. And they'd given us about sort of 10 minutes to practice this, you know.
It's a long drop.
Yeah.
And someone had gone out in the week and bought this small goal net from Sports Direct to catch this ball in. Now, in the head, if you look up, you can't see anything. Oh, you know, we were just looking. So there was me and the chap at the time. So it was Harley and Charlie doing this. We wandered out to the middle. And did we get anywhere near this ball at all? I mean, you know, because we couldn't see where the ball was being dropped from, way above the stadium.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they couldn't really see us because they're balancing, you know, on a tightrope. So yeah, it looked very funny, I was told at the time. But yeah. So
I suppose that is the positive of if something goes wrong, it's sort of part of the charm of being a mascot, right?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, to an extent. I think people think we have a lot more vision and movability within the suit than we actually do. I mean, this suit is thick. It weighs a ton. Your head, like the head ends a good probably like foot above mine. That I can see people's tops of their heads and the people's toes. So that whole big blank space in the middle, I've just got to kind of guess. So, I think there's lots of plans that go ahead for the mascots. Like, I remember one match, they wanted us to play some drums at the beginning. And we can't communicate with each other when we're in the costumes. And if we're on the pitch, we've got to stay in character. So if I'm looking at my colleague, looking at him, trying to say, come on, we're out of time. We can't do that. All they see is this big smiling bear and just its head moving side to side, trying to figure out what's going on. So we tried to play a drum opening for the players and the music was too loud. The crowd was screaming. We were just standing there with some primary school drums, just trying to make a bit of an impact. And I was looking over at my colleague, like, we're out of time. You need to do that. And I was trying to demonstrate and everyone thought I was drumming fast and everyone else started drumming faster. And then we're all going a bit like, what's going on? We don't have much mobility and we don't have much communication once you're in the costume. So if you pre-plan something, it's very lucky if it actually goes perfectly.
Have you ever had a moment where like the head's fallen off or any part of the costume, or is that not possible? Is it like well secured?
They can come off. It hasn't happened to me. It did happen
to a
colleague a few years ago. The closest I came, I think, to something like that was it was last season. We were going around with the players after a win, and Joe Marler was on the prop for Quinns, was on the pitch with his kids, you know, and he came across to give me that, you know, what to probably him was just a bit of a tap on the back, but obviously it's a, you know, professional rugby player, and he like grabbed me so hard, and I was like, oh, this head's going to come off, I'm just going to be stuck in the, you know, right in front of the crowd with no head on, but managed to sort of, you know, get it back on unfortunately. But yeah, I have seen it happen.
It is scary when it happens because you're like, oh my goodness, how many people have I scarred? Like, they've seen ahead of me. And, you know, there's a few times where kids come up to me and they're like trying to pull at my costume. Like, I've had my like, we wear paws and I've had like my paws. They've tried to pull those off. They're like, there's someone in there. And I'm like, yeah, no, really? No way there's someone in here. There's been a few times where I've been getting changed in the office and kids have walked past and stared through the window and just seen me like half bear, half human. I'm just scared like, oh my goodness, what is this thing?
Now, you both do something. It's one of those jobs where there's only a few people in the country that can say they do it, right? It's a very small community. Is there much interaction with other mascots in other sports or within rugby that you have? Or is it you don't really know anyone and you just have your own thing going on?
Like a mascots union.
I think there's like a secret kind of rivalry. There's definitely a secret rivalry going on underneath. Yeah, like if you turn up to a match and, you know, there's another mascot there, you're kind of giving each other the dirty looks, like,
really? Okay, let's throw some shade. Who's your biggest rival? Like, do you ever get to a game and you're like, oh, there's, I can't think of any other mascot. All I can think of is Philbert the Fox, that's Leicester. But yeah, you ever like, oh God, I hate those guys.
Oh, go on, Ali, you've done the mascot races. Who's tickled your feather?
Well, I suppose the main one for Harley, although I've never met him as Harley, would be Sari the Camel from Saracens. I know they've had a little bit of beef before.
I mean, we'd never have him in the podcast.
No, exactly. I mean, no.
Camel, get out.
But yeah, no, I did a mascot race actually a couple of seasons ago at the Premiership Sevens.
I've never done this, by the way. I refuse.
So yeah, was going up against Sting Wasps mascot and Maximus from Worcester. So yeah, there's a bit of rivalry there.
And how did it go?
Oh, I don't like to brag, but
Ali, you win every year. Come on!
Wow!
Ali wins every year.
Amazing!
Yes, Ali. You know.
He's faster. He's very fast.
No mean feat in a costume as well.
Yeah,
he's sprinting in this costume.
It finished with sort of trying to throw tin cans off a stand with a ball. And I think the idea was, you know, whoever, you know, after you've done a bit of a sack race and something else. And I think the idea was whoever knocked them off first, they did manage after about 5 minutes to go, should we just say who's knocked the most off now?
You must both have moments every so often when you're, you know, doing something like having a sack race dressed as Harley. We go, what a surreal life I lead. it's such a like alien concept, isn't it?
Oh, definitely.
Is it something that you are in your private life? Is it like one of the first things you tell people? Are you really excited, or do you try and keep it secret to make it special when people see them?
It was my pickup line if I went out.
Amazing.
I'm a bear. Yeah. No, I think my parents are a lot prouder of me than I. They're more open about it. Like, I'll bring my parents to a game, and they'll be in the stands, and they'll be tapping on everyone's shoulder. All the kids going, "That's my daughter in there. That's Emily. That's my daughter." Yeah. And I'm just
granted,
like,
"She looks nothing like you." I've got to be fair.
I think it's more impressive than being a player. I mean, there's more players. There's not many mascots. You know,
exactly. It's rarer. It's more exclusive. It's a more exclusive club.
And
isn't it,
everyone loves you. You know, players can be divisive, but you guys.
Yeah, I mean, every job interview I've been since I've had this job, I've always put it on my CV, and it's like the first thing they ask me. They're like, "What do you mean mascot? Like, what does this entail?" And I tell them, and they're like, absolutely, like, gobsmacked. They have no idea what to say to it. I'm like, yeah, I wear a bear costume part time for on Saturdays and Fridays, and they just look at me like, okay, and what kind of skills do you have to bring to that role? I'm like,
all
bear
of
wearing.
Them. and this is a question for both of you. Obviously, you've both done it for a little while now. How long have you been doing it, Alistair?
Be getting on for 4.5 years now, 5 years.
Okay.
This December it'll be, yeah.
Do you have, each of you, do you have one moment that is your absolute highlight of your mascot career?
Oh, that's a tricky one. I mean, there's been lots. I think to do the Twickenham big game, is always the highlight. It is mad to be dressed up, you know, in these costumes with sort of 90,000 people getting on for around
you.
That is mental, and you know,
with the
fireworks going and stuff like that, and you know, and on the same pitch as 30 professional athletes, you're a bit like, How did I end up here?
Must be a buzz.
Sort of thing. Yeah, yeah.
And you got a free ticket as well to all the games. So,
well, yeah.
Real win-win.
But you can only see that bit of it. Like,
every now and then I like nudge someone. I'm like, what's the score? And they're like, whoa, they're talking.
They've got lovely boots on.
Yeah, definitely. I think definitely big game is a huge highlight because it's just so many people. You're on the pitch. There's fireworks. You're dancing around. You're having a great time. But for me, being the first female mascot on the team, Emily the Bear was designed to inspire girls to get into the rugby world, and seeing little girls at rugby games and they run up and they're like, it's Emily the Bear. And that, because they can relate to the mascot a bit better. And they go absolutely berserk and they love seeing Emily the Bear. So just seeing the effect that just a character can make to young girls and young kids, it's amazing. And then I love it when the younger girls are shown so much attention. They're so into it. They're coming to rugby matches because Emily the Bear's there. They want to take pictures. They want to have signatures. They get so involved. And that's the whole purpose of like what Emily the Bear was there to be. And it's such a privilege to play that role.
That's amazing. And do you take the mascot outfits home, or like can you use them in your spare time?
No, they stay at the stadium they're dry cleaned. Well, I hope they're dry cleaned every season.
That's good. Yeah, that's
every match. We have had to transport them before. I think sometimes we're welcome to away games, or for example, I did a women's match in Guildford once, so the costume had to be transported from Twickenham to Guildford. But it is a huge, like, it barely fit. I was driving a tiny little car. It couldn't fit in the back of my car, so it had to go with the...
Really?
Oh, it's like a big old sack full of... It's got a head, it's got the whole body, it's got the feet, the hands. It's not something small that you can just pick up and wear.
And what about, like, in summer and really, really hot days? Oh. Is it, like, unbearably hot in there?
The perfect temperature for doing it is
-2.
Yeah, about -2 and snow. If it looks like that, then you're perfect. probably about a nice, you know, warm temperature.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Cozy.
Is it one of those things now, whenever you say if you went to Disneyland, you're like, I feel you guys. I know the struggle.
Yeah.
Look at them, like, it's also snowing right now. It's like 20 degrees.
Have you thought about doing like a mascots big Christmas party, like all the sporting mascots? That would be pretty, like if you all turned up.
Break out in quite a few fights there.
Do you think? Yeah. Oh, this rivalry, yeah. It's worse than the actual players.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it probably is. There's less rules, I suppose, if you're mascots. You can really fight. Do you really feel part of the team as well with the players, that you must know everyone and it feels like you're really integrated in that family when you're off duty as well as when you're on duty?
I think certainly the club's brilliant, and they've been so great to me and everyone since I joined. It's always a funny one with the players, because occasionally you see them, you know, you see them in the office and players not playing, and they're all really friendly and lovely. But of course, they mainly know you with a, you know, a big bear head on. So where they're, you know, and it's the same goes to everyone else. Most of the people will, you know, you've done a full match in costume, and you've, you know, everyone keeps saying, hi, how are you? You know, brilliant. And then you take this thing off at the end of the day and you go out and you're like, oh, no one's really paying me any attention anymore. a bit odd. No, nobody wants to give me a high five. Nobody's saying, hi, what's wrong? You know.
You should just get T-shirts printed going, I am Harley.
I am exactly.
When you, so that when you go, you know, when you go to the bar with everyone afterwards, they're like, oh yeah, we have met before. Yes, it's
or maybe, or costume. Maybe just leave the paws on and not the head. So you've just got like,
that'd be hard to drink a beer. But
absolutely amazing.
But yeah, I mean, relationships with the players is pretty cool. As I said, I've always been a Harlequins fan. So when I got to go into the office and the odd player would walk through, I was just like, oh my goodness. Like, I remember one time I was, not many people were in the office and I was trying to get zipped up. I had to get out there, and it's like a really complicated dress. Like, you have to try and get the zip done up. And if you've got a big old bear suit on, big paws, it's quite hard to reach behind. So the only person to hand was Chris Robshaw, ex-captain, ex-England captain, my idol a little bit, was just sitting there, and I very sheepishly had to kind of shuffle up to him and go, hi Chris, you don't really know me. Great player, by the way. Any chance you could just zip up my costume for me? And Chris, being lovely, just went, sure. Like, he's got a very deep voice, very charming. Stood up, went, yeah, sure, no problem. Zipped me up, and I must have turned around with absolute just like sparkles in my eyes, like, thank you.
Oh my God. You make me the bear I am today.
Doing it for you. But I mean, I've had the same experience with Joe Marler. Joe Marler has tackled me numerous times, leaving fairly big bruises because he just doesn't understand that actually there's a female underneath here, and also the costume's not that padded, and he's coming up and just like shoving me in the chest like, yeah, it's Emily the Bear, and I'm just there like, please don't hurt me.
Is there like a pinnacle for sports mascots? Because I know in the US it's quite a big thing, isn't it, the mascot. They're a big part of all the entertainment and everything, but is there like a pinnacle that you'd love to go to, or is it that you're both massive Quins fans and you just love to be involved with Quins?
I think that'd be the one. I think I've never done a final with Quins and of anything to, and we were just before lockdown came in, we were meant to go up to Sale for the Premiership Cup final, and that would have been the first final I'd ever done with Quins. Unfortunately, then that didn't happen. So I suppose that would be the pinnacle for me, to do a cup final or a Premiership final at Twickenham.
And I do have to ask, obviously you've got this like very unusual weekend job. What do you both do when you're not mascots?
My background was sort of theatre and acting and directing. And then sort of more recently, I've sort of moved into doing a little bit of TV and writing and things
Fantastic.
Like that, really. So
Yeah.
And I'm a full-time personal trainer. So
wow, amazing.
Yeah, so being in the, I run my own business, MEG Fitness, and then I was working weekends
amazing.
At Harlequins.
What a fascinating that it's pulled you from such different worlds into this one very crazy niche shared experience.
I bet you'll never want to give it up, will you? You know, it's one of those things that you'd fight, if circumstances changed, but you'd find it really difficult handing the costume on.
Definitely. I mean it's, you do kind of grow attached to the job a little bit because it's kind of your character. So when someone else got in the Emily suit for the first time, I was very territorial about it.
So we're gonna spice it up a bit in the quiz. So if you remember from last week, the scores are currently 98-90, so Amy, you are teetering on the edge of raising your bat for the ton. But this week, it would only be fitting. Matt, you need a miracle.
I do. I need Amy to absolutely crash and burn. And I need Alistair to really come through for me here. That's the only way I can win the series.
Indeed. So I think it would be fitting to have a mascot special of the
Amazing.
Quiz. So we're going to pair up Alistair and Emily with Matt and Amy. We'll do boys versus girls. Matt, you can have Alistair to help you out. And Emily, you can help Amy.
Good luck, Alistair.
Bring it on.
And the way in which this is going to work
so
is...
I'm so sorry. And if one of us has it right, then we get the point, I'm assuming. If both of us have it right, do we get 2 points?
No, just one of you.
Stop trying to get more.
Yeah, I'm really trying to...
This could backfire for you. You think if I was getting double points, Matt, it's not going to work well for you.
No, fine. Okay.
And by the way, just to manage your expectations in terms of if you're expecting a highbrow quiz, then maybe temper your expectations. So let's go. Question number one. Which team is Gunnosaurus the mascot for? I'm going to go to Matt and Amy first because I'm expecting you to know this.
Arsenal.
Matt. Amy?
Arsenal.
Okay, Emily and Alistair. Did you know
I did,
that
yes.
I've got Arsenal, yeah.
Famously saved his career, saved by Mesut Özil, paying his salary for the last year.
I think I'm going to be doing all right in this quiz, Amy. After that comment, I'm very happy.
Okay, start off nice, an easy one. Well done. Right, next one, also an easy one, I think. Which team? Fred the Red.
I think I know this one.
Let's go to Emily first.
I put Manchester United.
Amy?
I put Man United.
Alistair?
Manchester United.
Matt?
I've also put Manchester United.
Oh, geez, you are. Okay, 2 for 2. Okay, question
because
there's
other people here, we've really brought our A game. we can't slack so much.
All right, they're going to get a bit harder. Question number three, Hammerhead. Matt first.
Oh, who are the Hammers? Queen's Park Rangers?
Okay, Amy?
I put West Ham.
Emily?
Yeah, West Ham.
Alistair?
I believe it's West Ham.
West Ham, yeah.
Matt, you have saved that.
I mean, of course it's West Ham. Of course it is. As soon as everyone else said it. Oh, dear.
Okay, question number four. Cyril the Swan. Amy?
At a guess, I'm going Swansea.
Emily?
Yeah, Swansea. It sounds about right. You know, Cyril the Swan, Swansea.
Matt? Honestly, call?
Swansea, okay, because they've got a swan on their badge.
Okay. Alistair?
Swansea City. So,
yeah, okay. I think that's a nice and easy one.
This is...
Number five, Harry the Hornet.
Oh, some scribbling going on.
My pen's run out.
Oh, yeah, whatever. What's next? Dogs eating your homework. Go on then, Amy. As your pen's run out, you can tell us what's in your mind. Harry
wasps,
the Hornet.
Wasps?
Matt?
I haven't put anything. I've just not answered this one. I was going to put wasps, but then I thought that's the opposite of hornets, isn't it, basically? So I'm really relying on Alistair here.
So rather than pass, just name a town or a city somewhere.
Fine. I'll just go wasps as well, then. Why not? Me and okay. Amy, like, I'm gonna get in that lifeboat.
Okay,
them.
Wasps. All right, okay. Emily.
I put Watford.
And Alistair.
Watford.
Yeah.
Oh, the two mascots have saved you. Saved you.
Saving
it is Watford.
Bacon.
It is.
Absolutely. Of course it's not wasps. They're different animals.
Okay.
I thought it was just, I don't know, some kind of irony.
Question number six. Boilerman. Have you read this, Amy? Is this your radio presenting background with random news stories coming to the fore again?
Yeah, it's triggered, but...
Okay, we'll start off with you two again then. Matt?
I've gone for Swindon.
Okay, Amy?
I can't remember. Is it Coventry? That's a guess. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Emily's face then when I said Swindon was absolutely all
like,
I needed for my self-esteem.
She looks wonderfully confident at this point, so...
Come on then, Emily.
I put West Brom.
Okay, Alistair?
West Bromwich Albion.
Oh, right, you knew that one, did you? Yeah.
Yeah!
West Brom. How do you know that?
I put Swindon. Mascots.
Yeah. Do you, I mean, is that genuine? I just love sport, because maybe that's what we need to do on this, Amy, is just watch some sport.
Yeah, just be a bit more involved, maybe.
So West Brom, they have the Boiler Man because they did a sponsorship deal with a boiler company. They used to have a mascot called
Sell Out.
Yes.
Is the Boiler Man literally a boiler?
It's a boiler. He literally is a boiler with legs and he runs around. I think we must have done a project on him about like worst mascots and like best mascots. And I mean, it's
really?
It was in the news quite a lot, wasn't it? Yeah.
That's quite funny though. That's quite surreal, isn't it?
That really is selling out, isn't it, as a club?
Yeah. And Amy, you mentioned Filbert Fox earlier, so this is not a question, but he actually got his own boot sponsorship deal by Puma.
Wow.
So there you go, in terms of mascot goals for you two. Mm. Boot sponsorship.
There we go, that's what we need.
Okay, question number seven. This one I think might be a bit harder. Philly Fanatic. Amy.
Got no idea. Philadelphia.
A bit more specific than Philadelphia. Give me the sport, at least.
NFL.
Okay, Matt.
I'm going to go for the NHL. In Philadelphia, all right, Philadelphia, but I'm going to go the hockey because they've always got good mascots.
Okay, so Alistair?
I'm not sure actually on this one, but I would go the Philadelphia Eagles would be.
Okay, and Emily?
I think it's the Phillies and their baseball.
Emily is correct.
Yay!
Philadelphia Phillies.
Wow, absolutely amazing.
That's brilliant.
And it is baseball, yes. Yeah, so we covered off all the American sports, but yeah, baseball is correct.
What a very specific asset you would be to a pub quiz team.
There aren't many questions about mascots in pub quizzes.
I write a pub quiz every so often, and I'm absolutely doing a mascot round next time. This is really good.
Make sure you get me involved in that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Question number eight. Which one of these is a real mascot? Krusty the Pie, Paddy the Pudding, Stripey the Sausage. Two of them are fake. One of them is real. So we'll start off with you, Matt.
I think Krusty the Pie is the real one.
Amy?
Stripey Sausage.
Emily?
I was going to say Krusty the Pie, yeah.
Alistair?
Yeah, well, I've gone Krusty the Pie for some reason.
Krusty the Pie is correct. So yes. Let's go bonus point for which team is Krusty the Pie. Matt?
Oh, my! For a bonus point? Oh,
yeah.
No, this is a nightmare.
Should we just skip Matt and Amy?
Yeah, let's. Because
otherwise,
yeah,
it's basically
I'm not going to be able
name
to.
A city or a town.
Name a sports team, which is something I can't do on the best of days.
Okay, let's go straight to Alistair.
I would say Wigan Athletic.
Oh, Emily?
Come on. Leeds. Let's go with Leeds.
The answer is Wigan Athletic. Oh, well done, Alice.
Absolutely phenomenal bit of knowledge there.
Krusty the Pie is Wigan Athletic. Okay, question number nine. Which is the only Premier League club not to have a mascot? Or I'll rephrase the question to Matt and Amy. Name a Premier League club.
That is an absolutely legitimate thing to say.
Amy, you want to crack a guess?
Man City?
Matt?
Blackburn.
Okay, well, they're not a Premier League club to begin with, so I'm going to guess that's
wrong. Oh, well, there we go. My God.
Okay, Emily.
I was going to say Brighton and Hove, but I changed my answer. I think it's Everton.
Okay. Ali?
Yeah, Everton.
Okay. And the answer is Everton. Woo. Yeah, well done.
Absolutely amazing. You two are unbelievably...
You should be mascots or something. Wow.
So the reason it's Everton is because traditionally their mascot was called Mr. Toffee because they are the Toffees.
Yeah.
But then when they got a sponsorship deal with Chang Beer, they changed the mascot to Chang the Elephant.
Yeah.
But since they no longer have Chang as a club sponsor, they're in mascot limbo. So they couldn't really have Chang the Elephant anymore. Mm. Question number 10. In what film does Swoop, the Philadelphia Eagles mascot, have a fight with Jim Carrey? Amy.
Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Matt.
Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, because it was a film literally about them trying to find a dolphin that was a mascot, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And it's a really good film, and it only gets really transphobic at the very end.
Yeah, very transphobic.
It's aged horribly.
It's probably the only. Is it the only film about a mascot? I don't know. I feel like Americans have done more with mascots.
Christopher Guest, there's a Netflix film. Christopher Guest wrote a film. It was only out a couple of years ago about mascots.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's quite funny.
Yeah. Emily and Ali, did you know the answer to that one?
I did know the answer to that one, yeah.
I was going to say Ace Ventura, yeah.
Yeah, nice one.
Nice and easy one. Well, I mean, that was a very successful quiz. I mean,
I think
it's probably going to be 10 each, isn't it?
Woo-hoo.
Well, you have crossed the 100 mark.
Figures.
Congratulations to you.
How depressing for you, Alistair, that you aced the quiz and were dragged down by me being here. That's the only thing.
Not at all. Not at all. No, we've all got 100. That's, you know, a good score.
Yeah, exactly.
Raise your bat.
Thank goodness.
Oh, actually, yeah, so Matt, so you're up to 100 as well. Yeah, well
lovely.
Done.
Thank you. No thanks to me at all, but there we go. Yeah, so it's lovely to be part of a team. I felt like I was with the clever kid doing a class project then, and I didn't really have to do anything. I just stood there when we did the presentation at the end.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Emily and Alistair, for the most just fascinating insight into something we've been a bit obsessed with. You are two legendary mascots. Keep up the great work.
Thank you very much. It's been a genuine pleasure to learn about the intricacies of something very, very unusual. It's absolutely amazing. Thank you for your time.
And Matt, I'm assuming you're now a Harlequins fan purely for the mascots.
I'm a Harlequins fan for the mascots. And also, like, you've got to remember, I have not worked for a year. So I am absolutely after a mascot job when we're all out of lockdown. I cannot live on ice skating money forever. So... I need something to do.
That would be perfect.
I could be an ice skating mascot now. That's probably quite a niche skill.
Mascots on ice. Mascots on ice.
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. There we go. Get me in the NHL. Lovely.
Amazing. Thank you so much, guys.
No, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Well, that wraps up this week's edition. And in fact, that is actually the end of this season for Sports Virgins, our first ever sporting season. We'll be back.
Lovely.
But I thought I'd have a quick look back and a debrief. You know, what do you feel that you've learnt, Matt? We've had so many chats about sports now.
It's a really good question. I think, one, my sort of gut reaction to sport was absolutely correct. It's all nonsense. It's all ridiculous. But that's kind of what I've learned to love about it over the last few weeks, is that it is all a bit silly and it is all a bit stupid. And also, a lot of people are dead.
Right. Yeah, that's a very good point. People die. Yeah.
Yeah, people. But a lot of people
that we talked
about. I don't
know if that was the objective of the podcast, but, you know, it's good. It's good that you've taken that
away from
it.
People die. That's a big thing I've learned, that we've that we've, and also people die, and I very often don't know if they have or not. That's what I've learned about myself.
Well, you know, when you're in a pub quiz and there's a dead or alive round, because you know that's often a popular round in a pub quiz, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have also learned that Graham Taylor isn't a snowboarder.
I don't think I have learned that Graham Taylor isn't a snowboarder. I've just learned that Graham Taylor isn't a snowboarder yet. I think we can all agree, looking at the man, it's in his future.
He's dead. Remember that?
Oh.
Okay, so you've not learnt that much about death after all. Okay. We've also learnt that referees are knobbers. That's an absolute fact.
Oh, my God. Fucking referees. You know what? That's what I've learnt. If you're a referee and you're out there, the thing I've learnt over the last 18 episodes is you can go and fuck yourself as hard as humanly possible.
And And on that note, I think that's a great way to end the season. How can we possibly top that?
Well, we also learned about cheese rolling.
Oh, we did.
I think that was my highlight of sport.
And my deep-seated love for Leicester.
Dylan, I have to ask, over the first season, have we absorbed less about sport than you could ever imagine?
I think what I've observed is that, Matt, you actually know quite a lot of random facts about sports, whether it's like golf, boxing, winter sports. You've had quite a lot of random bits of knowledge. But then when it comes to the quiz, you've been an utter shambles and... That's been Amy's place to shine. Okay.
You know what? It is that, like, I know loads of shit about nothing, but actually when it comes to the nuts and bolts of it, I've got no idea. But I could tell you, like, in 1974, Brighton and Hove's ground was actually used as the site for filming of Rambo. Something ridiculous like that, I know. But I couldn't tell you where Man City are based.
Yeah, but we've covered off some, you know, some common threads throughout the season, haven't we? We're following Gareth Bale's trying to move back to Spurs. Been following Ryan Reynolds' acquisition of Wrexham.
Yeah.
And we've been following Liverpool. Obviously, they rose and now they're in a bit of a...
I think also what I've found interesting is in myself, and this might be the same as you, Amy, you'll say a sport and I will have an instant reaction. So I quite like talking about the rugby, but I'm not interested in talking about the football. I like talking about the tennis, but I'm not really interested in the snooker. Like, I do now have sports where I go, I know where I stand with certain sports.
You've
on
really
a more
got in
subtle
touch,
level.
Yeah, with your sporting feelings and emotions.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What have you learned, Amy?
Well, like I say, you know, the Magic Sponge was a highlight, the joy of mascots, how little you know about... sporting figures. And also, I actually have realised that I know less about sport than I thought. I thought I had quite a good grasp of general knowledge of sport, and it turns out I don't.
I'm still disappointed you failed in your mission to nutmeg someone.
I tried, Dylan. It turns out nutmegging is hard. Of course, that was another thing I learned. I did attempt a few nutmegs, but I will continue with my endeavours and I will get there. So thank you for enlightening us, Dylan.
No worries.
Yeah, thank you very much, Dylan. Your knowledge has been infectious and your enthusiasm has been infectious. Maybe that's why I like the rugby, is because it's what Dylan loves.
Exactly. And when we come back, I want to hear, in your off-season, I want to hear you putting the things you've learned to good use. I want to hear you stories of nutmegging and using the magic sponge on people and all these various things. I want to hear you've been playing snooker, Matt, and things.
And go to a game. Let's go to a game.
Oh, my God. I think that is, as soon as we're allowed, the first thing we all do is when it's open is we all pick a game and go to a game.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Well, thank you, guys, and we'll see you next season.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.